Turn, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 31. I'm going to have you read a verse or two with me, and then I'm going to move on to several other verses. And you can maybe just jot those down, read them later when you get home. In Deuteronomy 31, Moses is now ending his life here on earth. He comes to the final few days. He has brought the children of Israel out of bondage under the hand of God and led them through the wilderness. A 40-year journey. They come to the place now where that they are about to possess the promised land. He gets to see it, but he doesn't get to enter into it. God takes Moses on top of Mount Nebo. Shows him the promised land. Said, you can see it, but you can't go into it. God gives him the witness, it'll be okay. We know later that God somewhere there in the valley of Moab took out his golden shovel and dug the grave of Moses, and there his body lies. And even though that the angels had to fight because the devil himself contended for the body of Moses, because he knew that what God's prophet had done was instilled something in the people of God that would change his destiny forever. God gave Moses something that this church and every church around the world still needs today. As he looks out on that enemy and he realizes, there it is, but I'm not the one to possess it. It'll be Joshua that'll be the one to possess it. And he looks at all the things that are there. Bear in mind, even though God gives us a promise, we've not possessed the promise yet. We're living in the realm of faith now, where the possession is not a reality. But sometimes, even though God has promised it to us, that doesn't mean that we will not have to fight for it. They are now ready to go into the promised land. And Moses, as a prophet of God, receives word from God that he shares, and it becomes a theme through our entire Bible then, over and over again. And that message that he shares was to encourage Joshua. Because when he goes in, he's not going to face one enemy. Oh no, when he goes in, see, the promised land was bordered by the Egyptian empire to the north, the Mesopotamian empire to the south, but neither one of them really ruled over that area. There were seven Canaanite tribes that each one of them had their own king. 31 different walled cities that they would have to take in order to receive the promise of God. 31 walled cities that could not be penetrated by Egypt nor Mesopotamia. But now suddenly here come these vagabond people that were shepherds traveling through a wilderness that had only known slavery up to that point. And a generation has now been raised up not as warriors, but as common people with no idea how to fight a battle. And he's telling them, you're going to have to go in and take 31 cities and conquer 31 kings in order to receive what I've fully promised to you. So Moses receives something from God. It's found in verse 6. And it simply says this, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit. Be strong and of a good courage. We find out by the time you get to Deuteronomy 31:23, and he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge, and he said, be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. Joshua now getting ready to enter in Joshua 1 and verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. 1 Chronicles 22:13, then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to the full statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. 1 Chronicles 28:20, and David said unto Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it, fear not, and be not dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand. Now here's a strange passage of scripture that correlates to all of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If you can remember the word tinkling cymbal, you say, what's that got to do with everything else? Well, that's what I hope to share with you today. Our problem as a church is not getting people to join the army of the Lord. People will join quick. You don't believe that? Ask anybody. They're all Christian. If they're not a Christian when they live, they're a Christian when they die. They're all a Christian. Our problem's not getting people to join the army. Our problem is not getting people to prepare for the battle. They know about the armor of God. They hear about it. They know it well. They know exactly how to prepare. We have sharpened the sword. We have absolutely shined up the shield. We have fitted the helmet of salvation. We have the girdle of truth about us. Our feet is shod with the preparation of the gospel. We have people prepared. People have never known more about the Bible than they know today. We have people prepared. But here's the problem. Even though they have joined the army, and even though they have prepared to go to battle, our problem is people will not engage in the battle. They don't want to go to war. We want to prepare for war. We don't want to go to war. And the truth of the matter is, even though that we've got all of this ability, if we do not use it, the enemy is winning. Two things. You can't get them to engage in battle. And second of all, you cannot get them to remember that the battle is already won if we get in the fight. And the reason that I know that we are not engaged in the battle is because everyone that was ever engaged in battle had to follow exactly what God gave Moses. Be strong and of good courage. That's not just words. The reason that's repeated over and over and over again is that became a cry of war for the Hebrew people. In fact, the words that are used there, be strong, is kasak. The word of good courage is the word amatz in the Hebrew. The two together, kasak amatz, became known as the Hebrew war cry. Do you know if you ever visit the Holy Land and you go to the Wailing Wall, and if you ever had the privilege to see them bring the Torah out and see them read the Torah after they complete certain sections of the Torah, when they stop the people will cry in unison, Kasak, Kasak, Baruch Kasak, which basically means, tell us more. Let us fight. Let us go. Let us remember what the Word of God says. Help us to be ready in all things. Help us to have understanding. Don't stop. Keep reading. Keep reading. We need more knowledge of the fact that we are in a battle. This is a war, my friend. If you are saved today, you are living in hostile territory. We are not of this world. We are in this world. Our battle is not against people. Our battle is not against one another, but you rest assured there are enemies of our soul that seeks to destroy us. And how I know that people have lost their war cry is they have become a tinkling cymbal. The word tinkling is the Greek word that was used by the Hebrews. The Romans had their own cry when they got ready to go to war. Oh, you think it doesn't work? You think it doesn't matter? Ask anybody that served in World War II. Ask them if the Japanese had a war cry. You'll find out the purpose of the war cry is to put fear in the enemy. It is to put strength within the person that's going into battle. It is to give assurance among the soldiers that this battle is ours. This battle is ours. Do you think that when they got ready to play the state championship on Friday, do you think the coach set all of those players down and said, well, guys, it's good to see you today. I know we're here for something, but I really don't know what we're here for. I know you've worked hard, and I know you played hard, but just go out and do whatever you want to do. You know absolutely nothing about sports. It comes time for the battlefield. Coaches sit down and they tell you things like this. Get your head in the game. Get your game face on. Get ready. We're going to battle. We have one chance and one chance only to win. If you lose, you'll never have that chance. This day, this time again, may I remind you, we will never be able to recall this day again as a church. We will never be able to have any other chance to win. Today is the day. Now is the time. And he said to them, you become as a tinkling cymbal. The Roman word that is used there, the Greeks used it, it was from the Roman battle cry. And the Roman battle cry was a shout. And the shout in the Greek was halloo. You didn't get that. You know how I know that we're not ready to go to war? We've lost our hallelujah. It's gone. No longer do people look at situations. We live in fear and we forget we have the whole armory of heaven behind us and everything that we need. Instead of us living in fear and letting fear immobilize us and letting fear paralyze us, we need to remember, be strong and of good courage. We need to remember, be strong, Kasak. We need to remember, be of good courage. Amatz. What's Amatz? Amatz is saying, I've got the fortitude to get up and do something about it. I've made my mind up. I am not going to sit still in the face of the enemy. Amatz makes a man like Samson grab a jawbone of a donkey and slay 1,000 Philistines. Amatz is what makes David run at a giant and say, I will defeat you in the name of the Lord. Amatz is what makes Gideon take 300 men and slay an army. It's something inside of us that says the enemy cannot win. He will not win. He is defeated. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. We forget who we are. We are redeemed. The Spirit of the living God is inside of us. All of heaven's armory is ours. All of heaven's artillery is ours. Who is the enemy to think that he has you where you want to bring such anxiety and fear on us? You don't think it's real? You've never fought the battle. You've never engaged in the battle. When you engage in the battle, you'll find out that it's real. What's your battle plan? To look the devil in the eye and say, Kasak Amatz. You pick the wrong one, devil. Maybe you don't, right now you don't need this. But you wait until the doctor comes in and says it's cancer. Then you look the devil in the eye and say, Kasak Amatz. It makes your muscles tighten. It makes your teeth grit. It makes you grip your fist until your knuckles are white. It makes you look the enemy in the eye and say, you cannot win. If I die, I win. The church is not going down. The church is going up. We are part of the body of Christ. A member of the body of Christ. You ask Jamie if there's not a battle that goes on when you start to reach out for lost souls before you ever get to a hospital. Immediately fear grips your heart and says you won't get in. They won't let you in. Then you have to worry about what everybody around thinks, because here you are speaking faith in a situation of death and they're saying it won't work. You know what you do? You look the enemy. Now people, you look the enemy in the eye and say, Kasak Amatz. You shall not win. This is my calling. This is my duty. I have made my mind up regardless of what others do. Kasak Amatz. You take your drug addicted loved ones, grab them by the head, look in their eyes, and say, Kasak Amatz. You're out of here, devil. You cannot have them. You cannot win. You lost your job. You look the enemy in the eye and say, Kasak Amatz. God has a better job. God will take what I have and make it better. You face enemies at the workplace and enemies on the job. You say, Kasak Amatz. How do I know? You've lost your hallelujah. You've lost your hallelujah. Some of you today have sickness in your body. You'd rather pay bills and whine about it than get to the throne room and let God encourage your heart and say, Kasak Amatz. When I got a hold of Margaret, Margaret told me that Jocelyn, suddenly they had a critical decision to make. And I talked to Margaret on the phone. She probably remembers this well. I talked to her on the phone. I said, I'm going to pray right now. I closed my office door. I went to the throne room of God. And I said, the devil would love to defeat this child. But Kasak Amatz, you know what the plan is. I don't care what the news is. God has a plan. We have now glorified sickness so much that we forget Jesus can take care of everything. He has the power to do all things. We limit Him in so many ways. You know why? We're not willing to get on our feet and say, Kasak Amatz. He wants your business. I ought to know, according to local liars, I'm in partnership with about 3/4 of you in here. I own property I'm giving away. I've got millions stashed away. They know it. Look right here. Every one of you. Don't fight the battle for me on social media. Fight the battle in the heavens. We know the truth, and the truth has set us free, and the enemy cannot win and will not win. My battle is not people. My battle is the devil and every demon from hell. Boy, you're quiet today. Is it okay that your loved ones are still lost? I mean, are you happy just coming and singing three songs, going home business as usual, coming in 9:30 sharp, leaving 10:30 dull? Are you happy with that? Are you content with that when nearly 160,000 souls every day is dropping off of life and falling into hell for all eternity? Are we happy with that as a church, knowing that we have the gospel that sets men and women free and changes lives? Are you really happy with that? Three no's. Three no's. 550. Preach me happy, preacher. Make me feel good. We can't feel good when we're in battle. Some of you not even aware. There's a war going on around you. There's a battle everywhere. For your home, for your family, for our communities, for our nation, for this world, for the souls of men and women and boys and girls. Kasak Amatz. Are there any warriors in Rubyville today? Are there any warriors here today? Is there anyone that's ready to rush headlong into battle? Is there anyone willing to join in the battle cry? Kasak Amatz. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. He hasn't won. He will not win. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And yea, I say in all things, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. Kasak Amatz. Just a sermon? Is that all it is? Just a song? It's a war. It's a battle. It's a battle for your kids. It's a battle for my kids. It's a battle for our heritage. It's a battle for our church. Kasak Amatz. Kasak Amatz. Be strong and of good courage. Who else? Who else would join them? Hey, some of you haven't joined the army, have you? Some of you don't know the armor that you have. You ought to come. You know what the devil will take? What you let him. What you allow him to have. Kasak Amatz. Kasak Amatz. Kasak Amatz. Be strong and of good courage. Headlong to the enemy, knowing with certainty, I know the outcome. We are winners. We are winners. Oh, I'll wait until I get in trouble and call on the preacher. This is something personal. Kasak Amatz. It's your loved ones, your job, your testimony, your livelihood. You're the only one who can do anything about it. I'm done. It's up to you. The outcome is in your hands. I can say with all honesty, God has His hand on us today.
Yes.
This week, North Korea tested a missile.
Yes.
That is now an ICBM that can absolutely reach America anywhere. Somebody said, what did you do when you heard that? Kazakh Emats. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is still God. God over every kingdom. And God over every king. And God over every dictator. And God over every disease. And God over every burden. It's yours. What you do with it, it's up to you. Do you need to come? Come.